Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Your Money Your Life podcast, episode 190 of the podcast, where each week we go over business news, finance news, personal finance news as well. Before we get into the episode, make sure you like, subscribe, 5-star rate and review. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the notification bell so you know every time I drop a new episode. As always, we're going to dive right in to what's going on in the stock market. So this week, the big news was from the Fed. The Federal Reserve finished their annual meeting and said that they're going to leave rates steady for right now and collect more data on what's going on with the economy, with inflation. And they indicated that that they're potentially will be keeping rates higher for longer because of stubborn inflation. So as we kept saying this, we knew this would happen. I've alluded to, obviously, that rates would be steady for this meeting and potentially a raise later on. And they did indicate that there could be potential one more raise of rates before the year's out. And pretty much in the most simplest terms, one of two things have to happen. Unemployment has to go up or inflation has to come down. Inflation is stickier and more stubborn than most people anticipated, more than the Fed anticipated. If you look at their projections a year ago on the dot plot versus what they are now, it was way under projecting what inflation would do and how fast they would have to raise rates to combat it. And so now it's looking like a situation where one of those two things have to happen. Unemployment has to go up, or inflation has to come down below 3%. And it's going to be tough to get that to happen. So that's the big news on the Fed meeting. And we'll be, data less for a little bit until we get more inflation data for this month coming out next month. And then another Fed meeting coming up as well later down the pipeline. So with that, the market had been doing well in the last week or so, but now the market's taking a little bit of pullback as they're now anticipating what the Fed is looking to do. And year to date, we've pulled back a little bit as well. So you're seeing a little bit of that pullback that we kind of mentioned again, July 30th being the top. And we've had a little bit of runs and then again, pullback here that we're seeing as of most recent, which again could be a little bit more drawn down before we get steady. So we'll watch it. I think it's something for people to just be aware of at this current time right now. Current news. I saw this and I thought it was interesting because it's counterintuitive to what you would think is going on, because small businesses are holding a rosier outlook on their business. Optimism among small business owners is close to pre-pandemic high, according to the Chamber of Commerce. The group's confidence index jumped 6% in the third quarter to 69.2, suggesting the economy may be in decent shape. Two-thirds of the surveys responded said their business is in good health, a 9-point increase from last quarter, but just a third of those polled said the overall economy's health was good. And so about 77.1% expect their revenue to grow next year, which is the highest level since the survey began in 2017. Maybe it's false optimism for some people. Maybe it's real optimism. It depends on what business you're in. But the Chamber of Commerce ran their survey and they're seeing that people have a little bit higher expectation. Again, I think this might be true because small business is more insulated than if you think of like, a larger business or, something that has to really see a lot of growth, whereas small business may be chugging along, maybe have reoccurring revenues or reoccurring earnings and just doing really well, despite a potential, which I believe, economic drawback in the last quarter of this year, early first quarter of next year. So could be true, but that's what they're saying, especially in the small business survey. So we'll watch the survey. I think that's an interesting survey that I want to keep an eye on, because is the optimism real or is it overdrawn? Is the Hollywood strike near an end? This strike has been going on for 100 days. Remember, we have the writers and producers fighting against the big Hollywood studios for better pay, better rights, better royalties. And the Writers Guild of America, Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers, they're meeting with the studios for bargaining talks. They talked on Wednesday. They're talking again today. And according to a joint statement, they're getting closer to a deal. Remember, this has been going on 100 days and has stopped more than 11,000 writers from writing and working on things, and has brought productions such as Netflix Stranger Things, which they're doing another season. That's awesome. That's good to hear. Well, we'll get that season when they get back to this deal finished and back to writing. Marvel's Blade was at a standstill. I'm not a big Blade fan, but for those of you who are, we'll see it if they get a deal done. The strike may continue through the end of the deal, end of the year, if a deal is not reached this week. If a deal is not reached this week, the strike continues through the end of the year. And that's, you know, again, this is tough stuff. And hopefully the writers, producers, they get a deal that's good for them. I think we're hoping for the little guys here to get something that's right for them so they can continue to work. And you're seeing a lot of people going on strike. With that, let's go to our United Auto Workers. United Auto Workers, also the auto workers, they're on strike as well. Auto workers and car makers are going to have themselves to duke out as well. The United Auto Workers begin an unprecedented strike against all of Detroit, the three automakers, GM, Ford, and Dodge, on Friday. It's a first in the union's 88 history as the work stopper edges its fifth day. Both sides appear to be digging for a lengthy showdown over pay and pensions. 13,000 of the United Auto Workers, 440,000 workers are striking at three plants, one per company. Those plants make up approximately 9% of the automakers' North America production and are the manufacturing hubs of some of the most profitable cars. GM said it would likely pause work at a plant with 2,000 workers because the targeted strikers were causing part shortages. So negotiations are moving at a slow pace. UWA rejected a proposal that would boost pay 21% over 4 years. The union has asked for a 36% raise by limiting strikes to a few plants. So again, you're going to see more and more people, more and more unions strike, which has a couple effects. It's going to affect the companies because if they raise pay, that increase passed on to the consumer because they have to raise the cost of the goods that they're selling to keep their margin. The other thing that happens is they're going to try to replace these workers with automation, with AI, with different ways to automate and make it efficient at a lower cost to them. So this is a double-edged sword for the unions because, of course, they want more pay for their union members. But then are the companies going to look for ways to replace the unions, replace the workers at a faster pace than they originally thought? Probably. And that's what we're going to potentially see. There was a story on Starbucks that I wanted to find, if I can find it. Starbucks. Where is my Starbucks story? Yes. Starbucks is looking to use technology and machines to get faster, to have people not wait in long lines. I'm one of these people that gets my wife, fiance, soon to be wife, coffee every morning. And of course, sometimes I go really early because I wake up usually pretty early. But sometimes it's a long line. If I don't go, it's a bunch of tourists. Some people, you know, all these people around, and there's a long-ass line. And I'm like, all right, I'll just go to the next one or I'll, you know, order it. But Starbucks is on a mission to make its Frappuccinos and other multi-ingredient drinks faster. They're spending billions of dollars towards that goal, including buying new equipment. They're trying to make their offerings just more efficient and use smaller cubes. They did a report probably by some consultants they paid that said if they could, you know, make things faster and serve five more customers per employee, then they would make like another $400 billion in revenue by doing so. So they're trying to really, really increase the efficiency to increase their revenue, their top line, and their spending to do so. Because of course it makes all the sense of the world. So again, you're seeing companies looking to increase top line, be more efficient. So that's, you know, lower cost. But you're also seeing on the employee side, people are looking to get paid more because inflation is kicking people's ass. And so if they're looking to get paid more, but the company's looking to spend less and increase top line, there's going to be a head in a lot of different places where unions, employees are fighting against the company. So we'll see a lot more of that in the near future. And I guess less company news and more AI news. ChatGPT did an image generator. I saw it. I watched the video. It looked pretty cool. You can create like stories and different things with images, custom images, which is pretty, pretty cool that they're doing. So the AI push to understand what it really is still in heavy, heavy effect. Still in heavy, heavy effect. People still learning how best to use language models, AI, artificial intelligence for their own purposes. Walmart is getting into pet services, which is a smart move on their part. So Walmart is going into pet services and dogs. They opened up in Dallas, Georgia. Dallas, Georgia. Is that a place? at the same location where Walmart's first health outpost, which opened in 2019, they opened up a space dedicated to pet care, to pet services. They're going to offer veterinary services, grooming services, in addition to pet products. And it signals the grocer's interest in claiming a piece of the $136 billion that consumers spent on pet last year. This is a smart move. If you know anything about what trends are, long-term trends, pet service, pet care, people having more pets and less children is a trend that I see long-term. And so if you're someone that understands business services or any of those things, having a pet service, a pet care service is not a bad plan if you know how to get consumers, clients, whatnot. Because if you look at the long-term trends, it's expensive to have children, but it's less expensive to have a pet. And people want to care for something, someone, some animal. And so that's a growing trend, especially in larger cities where you'll see more and more pets. And the services that they need are going to be needed. And so you'll see that, you know, pop up a lot more in the future. So Walmart's jumping in. You'll probably see other companies jump in. Walmart's making the first move. I anticipate other companies to do similar, and just more pet services business in general to pop up. They're going to be trimming nails for $15, rabies shots for $25. So yeah, they're going to have a big move into that pet market, which I think, again, I think makes a lot of sense if you look at long-term trends. Another trends, H&M is now charging for returns as more retailers discourage customers send it back habits. So shoppers in the UK now have to pay $2.50 to return their tanks and mock turtlenecks online and in stores. H&M is trying to really tighten its return policy in other markets as well. Zara started in the UK. The U.S. fast fashion giant, the second largest after Zara, charges $6 for returns, but IRL is free. So again, people do it a lot where, especially in, you know, economic times that get harder, they're going to buy something, not like it, or maybe it doesn't fit, whatever, they're going to return it. But, you know, other people use it to just buy and wear something and return it right away because they just want to have a switch up of what they're wearing. And so, yeah, I agree with this. This should be a charge to return. If it's a repeat offender, it's someone that does it often, someone that really has no interest in purchasing the item in the first place, 100% agree with that. So we'll have to see. Warner Bros. Discovery streamer Max is adding a live sports tier that includes the MLB, NHL, NBA. Wow. YouTube, Amazon, Apple, and other streamers have been adding sports to lure subscribers. So Max is getting into that. Interesting. So Netflix be the only one that's withholding live sports. Could be detriment to Netflix if they don't get into live sports, or they know what they're doing. We'll have to see on that. But I think that's a smart move on Max to add live sports. Of course, it's a growing industry, especially with gambling, sports gambling, betting, fantasy. All those different things are really pulling people that were on the fringe into being more of a consumer and watcher of live sports. So Elon Musk floated the idea of charging all people to use Twitter. He uses a small amount. He wants to charge a small amount to use a site. He keeps saying it's to discourage bots. All right. We know it's not to discourage bots. You're trying to make up the gap in your advertising revenue. You fired a lot of people. You have made it a tier for Blue subscribers. Now you're going to charge everyone because you need to make up the gap. It's not the bot thing. The bots are still going to be there. He's just trying to make up his gap. That would make me consider if I'm ever going to use it. I do use it frequently as far as like gaining information and looking at stuff. Not as much tweeting anymore. Really don't care for it. But I think a lot of people would drop it after that. It's not even the money thing. It's just honestly like, be real with us. It's about making up your gap. If he says that, maybe we're all on, all right? If you can say it's about making up the gap. We know you're a multi-billionaire, but a multi-billionaire still needs money. You still need profit. We understand. Just keep it real with us. Keep it real. TikTok now has a Billboard Top 50 chart for viral songs. That's quite interesting. A lot of people are using now. If you look at the music trends, it's all about just being on TikTok, being a trend, being viral. not about making lasting, songs anymore. It's about being a TikTok trend for the younger demographic. No change. We talked about this earlier. Fed Reserve meeting, no change on the interest rate. Again, this is that chart we always show when we see what's been going on. The gray highlights are the recession points. We did have that short recession for the pandemic. And again, when we start cutting, we are in recession, which is looks like where we're headed as interest rates, no change as we've increased here pretty substantially. So less interest rates and change. And it's looking like a soft landing is going to be hard. It's going to be darn near impossible to get to. People think we got closer. But again, I think either employment has to increase, unemployment has to increase, or inflation has to come down hard. Jerome Powell said, we're taking advantage of the fact that we move quickly. We move quickly to move a little more carefully now. So they did move quickly. Now they're saying they're moving carefully now. And they started raising rates 18 months ago. And now they're the projections on where rates will be. We see here, most say, you know, there could be another hike in the horizon. And the economy is holding up better than expected at the Fed expected. So there's a lot going on as we did talk about this. And it's really going to be potential raise. But I don't see inflation slowing down in the next data set. We got oil prices increasing. So it's, 10% of the basket of consumer goods that's looked at for the inflation measure. And so we're going to probably see more hot numbers on the PCI, CPI, coming up for this month when they report this later on. So we'll keep an eye on it. It's going to be important to keep an eye on and watch going forward. Questions of the week. The theme is investing for our rapid fire question of the week. Let's go for the first one. For those who have one, what is the average amount of retirement savings 20 to 29 year olds have in their 401k? So I guess it says 401k, it's not IRA, so that's a little bit misleading, but you can have a 401k, you can have an IRA if you rolled over an old 401k, which a lot of my clients do. It's a smart thing to do. How much do Americans have in their 401k savings in the fourth quarter? Again, this is old data. It's looking at 2020, excuse me. Man, age 20 to 29, it was 15K. Age 30 to 39, the average was 50,000. 40 to 49, 120,000, 50 to 59, 203,000. Again, average for these folks, I suppose. So yeah, that's interesting enough. Again, it just says 401k. It doesn't say the retirement savings or IRAs as well, which is adds another element to that. How much would I need to save monthly to have $1 million when I retire? This is that age-old compounding question for someone that saves for 40 years. And they do try to look into what their compounding rate is. Doesn't say, but 40 years, we can even use an investment calculator, but 40 years, someone does, you know, they said 160 a month contribute over a 4-year period would get someone to $1 million. Again, that's what I always tell clients. It's not that much that you have to save, but you should be saving something if possible, right? Times differ, changes happens, job loss for some folks happens. But if you can save a little bit a month, it's going to go well. If you keep doing that consistently for years, it will bode really, really well for people in the long run. Especially with inflation, you want to have more than less to cover cost of living in the future to live the life that you want to live. Well, folks, that's another fun round of Your Money, Your Life. It's a busy day for me. I have workshops, teachings, new client meetings, different things going on, CNBC. So with that, I will leave you and we will see you next week.